Madison, Wisconsin is as good as it gets if you are like me and you love the college sports.
This is The Jump Around with Jim Rutledge and Pablo Iglesias, outfitted by Iron Jock Apparel, streaming live on the ESPN Madison YouTube channel.
Dancing down the sidelines, can they catch him now? The Badgers answer instantly. There will be no undefeated champion on Wisconsin with an unbelievable stretch drive to the championship game.
Guarded again! Inside the five, touchdown! What a performance by Melvin Gordon!
Chucky Hepburn, Big Ten on the line! Yes!
It's over. The Wisconsin Badgers win 17-9. They are the first Big Ten team ever to win successive Rose Bowl games.
That is the best college sports town in America.
This is The Jump Around, a Badger-dedicated show here on ESPN Madison's YouTube stream. You also can listen back on the ESPN Wisconsin app. Get into the show, 844-770-3776. On the Carbon Stock and Text Line, this is more. Jim Rutledge, Pablo Iglesias with you.
Hello.
We are in the Everlight Solar Studio, and you can see me in my Iron Jock polo. So if you want to look as fly as I, Pablo.
Look nice.
I do like your throwback Badger sweatshirt there, but I got the Iron Jock polo on. I know that all of the team here at ESPN Madison has Iron Jock gear. We love it. You can do team branded apparel. You can do your work team or your high school team. Iron Jock with a C. IronJock.com is the website. Go check them out to find out some sweet gear for yourself, Pablo Iglesias. All right, half full this week, Pablo. We don't have to watch the Badgers play this weekend, and half empty. The program might be in dire straits.
Those are pretty tough things right now. It's good to get a break, get a breather, I think, for everybody, not just for us after. I really don't know still, like, what type of words, not just after the Maryland game, but more of just the, as you alluded to it, what happens from here? What happens? Like, it almost, the weirdest thing to me is that it almost feels like it's even worse that we are coming off of, what was it, 6 days as we record this too, or as we also have this on the ESPN Madison YouTube channel, but 6 days basically after the loss to Maryland, and still having this uneasy gut feeling. Like, it almost stinks to not have a game this week, more so because you want to potentially use this. Maybe is this a revenge week? Is this something where you're just so mad about it, you're just beating up everything that you see, and you just want to be ready for the next opponent? It's almost like when Alabama lost to Florida State in week one, and then just goes out and puts out almost like a 60-70 burger. Do I expect Wisconsin to do that? No, but it was just like the fact that we have a week off for Wisconsin football. It's good for rest. It's good for everything. But also, I'm like, man, it just something just feels weird in my stomach, where I'm like, I just really would love, I wish, I mean, I don't put the schedule together, but it would have been fun to at least like have them go back after it this week and feel like that, hey, maybe this does put you in attack mode.
Yeah, you always want to go into a bye week off of a victory, not after what arguably could be the worst loss since Barry Alvarez arrived at the University of Wisconsin. So,
ain't that the truth?
Speaking of Barry Alvarez, we'll get to our poll question after Barry Alvarez. Let's hear Barry Alvarez on the Barry Alvarez Show live from Rooster Steakhouse in Middleton.
Coach, what do you make of how fans have reacted here so far?
I think it's embarrassing. I think it's terrible, despicable. They're spoiled rotten. Here's a team that you got young players trying to come on. They're competing. They're going to have a chance to get better, and you flip on them early in the season, and you flip on them, and you're chanting for the coach. What do you think that makes? How do you think that makes the players feel?
Exactly.
That's a great point, Coach. That's disrespectful. It's not loyal. You're not a fan. If I'm a person sitting next to me, boom, I tell, get your ass out of here. We don't need you in here. You don't want to watch this? Go someplace else. Go boo in a bar. You know, that really upsets me.
You know, Riley, I'm going to go ahead. Pablo, hope you don't take offense. I'm going to say Riley's the biggest Badger fan on this panel. I've caught every Badger game since I arrived in Madison since 2008, at least every Badger home game, and watched 90% of their games on the road. Even traveled on the road, gone to Rose Bowl and all that. But still, it's always been in some sort of loose reporter capacity. I obviously like the Badgers and want them to win. I don't cheer in the press box, but I do obviously grew up as a Badger fan. So I want you, though, Riley, because you unabashedly and pridefully do not hide your Badger fandom. How do you feel about what Coach Alvarez said?
No, I certainly do not. And I actually have essentially cheered in the press box before last year when I went to USC. I was just decked out in Wisconsin gear. I got a lot of weird looks from the reporters there. But I understand where Barry's coming from in the sense that he's a coach. He wants the fans to be fans, so to speak. Like, to support the team, encourage the guys. That, in his mind, is what the fans are there to do. But to insinuate that fans are spoiled rotten for wanting Wisconsin football to adhere to the standard that Barry himself set for this program is ridiculous. I can't agree with it whatsoever. I've been talking to some students who are currently in school right now, and the highlight of their time as Wisconsin football fans in school will be a 7-6 season last year.
We said it, that, too. When
2 years ago, I should say, with the ReliaQuest Bowl loss. That is what they're going to hang their hat on. And that is just so disappointing. My highlight as a student from Wisconsin football was a Las Vegas Bowl win, a Duke's Mayo Bowl win where Graham Mertz dropped the trophy and it went viral. That is the best we've ever seen, and I didn't realize how good I had it watching that. But to
be grateful
but
for that.
But to call the fans spoiled rotten for wanting a little bit better than 2-2 losing to Maryland, worst team in the Big Ten, is ridiculous.
Let me ask you a question. Give me the – I'm putting you on the spot.
Yep.
So how long – what years were you at University of Wisconsin?
I was at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. 2020 was my first year, fall of 2020, freshman year, to spring of 2024.
Okay. And who were the top Badgers in your time there?
Probably Graham Mertz, Braylon Allen, Jez Malusi. I'm trying to think of some defensive players. Hunter Wohler.
Well, if you were 21, I mean, that whole defense, I'm trying to think. Well, your freshman year was 2021, right?
Yes.
So, I mean, we're looking at the defense, too. We're looking at Leo Chanel, Jack Sanborn.
Yep.
Matt Henningsen, at least.
Yes, but
Keanu
Benton,
and Nick Herbig.
Yeah,
but that
Keanu Benton.
But that was
the last season of those, the really tough Wisconsin defenses.
Yes. The end of their tenure. So, yeah, those are – that's tough.
All right, so but, I want to play this little game here. I'm going to go to the box score from the one team, the Badgers that went number 5 in the country. They lost to TCU, bad loss, on the road at the Rose Bowl, lost the Rose Bowl. So – Scott Tolzien, better than Graham Mertz. The running backs on that team were Monte Ball, John Clay, James White. Then you had Nick Toon, Lance Kendricks, Brady Ewing, David Gilreath, Jared Abadaris, Isaac Anderson were the receivers. Again, most of those guys better than anything listed in your time there at Wisconsin. Even the kicker, Philip Welch, and then the punter, Brad Nortman, let alone the offensive lineman, was like Moffitt, Travis Frederick, Bill Nagy, like a bunch of all NFL guys.
Mm-hmm.
Who, like, literally one team. One team has outpaced your run. And it's worth noting because that was under Paul Chryst mostly. Maybe did Gary Anderson was there at all, or was it all Paul?
No, it was all Paul.
Okay, so it's not like Paul was covering himself in glory, which is part of the context in this conversation, Pablo. I want to ask our question, and people can chime in on the YouTube stream. Is this the most disappointing season for the Wisconsin Badgers since Barry Alvarez has arrived? Right now, it is at 96% of you said yes.
I mean, I feel like it has to be just right now. Like that's, it's just still, I feel like I'm just still clinging on to the loss of Saturday and how much pain that just, it's not even throwing salt into the wound. It's just overall, like it just, I don't know how else to put it. And I mean, Riley, you definitely feel the same way too. It's just sad. It's just tough. Like it's, what is exactly wrong with this team? Like I said this too when we did our emergency episode on Monday, is like the only recollection that I have of all of what was it, of all of Wisconsin football, my best memories are people telling me about these memories, telling me about these great players, getting to know some of these former players too that are in the league now and what it's meant, you know, what Wisconsin football was when they were here. And it's just like, am I ever going to get that? Like, I just kind of feel like it's been mediocre seasons. You know, it's been good to meet all these players, it's been good to talk to everybody, but it's just kind of like, all right, well, hey, maybe something will happen, but so far it's just always been like everybody's like, oh no, we can't come in flat this week, and all of a sudden something happens where it's just like everybody just feels flat all of a sudden.
Yeah, and I think it's the worst for these kids coming up, like people like me, players who are in my age range, who grew up watching only greatness. Like, yeah. We've only known the very best of Wisconsin football. Like, Aaron Witt was talking about it after the Maryland game. Hunter Waller hurts. A couple of years ago. Cooper Catalano. Like, these young guys grew up Wisconsin football fans, seeing how good this program can be, and then getting here and being a part of that program or being a part of the university and seeing it fall completely flat on his face and seeming like we're back in the dark ages. It hurts.
I'm going to share a stat that's going to depress the hell out of everyone.
See, I thought when we did the Monday episode, this was going to be, that was sad. And now here we are.
To answer the question.
At least we're all rocking red today.
Were Barry's comments fair or foul, though? Now, full context, Barry walked him back some with Jim Polzy in the Wisconsin State Journal. So Barry thinks he went too far.
He does. I do think that. It was so Barry's comments were saying fair or foul.
Yes,
I think I'm pushing towards foul just because in that manner of hey chanting for the head coach and Barry pointed out too. No matter what, you're always going to be under the microscope if you're in that head coaching position. And I respect where he's coming from. If anybody who knows it, he knows it to that extent, and probably from both sides of it too. Both being an athletic director and a head coach. I do think the comments probably were a little foul because, yeah, I mean, I even think about Riley's resume, too, and what he's seen that's been quote-unquote accomplished with the Duke's Mayo Bowl win, with a ReliaQuest Bowl appearance, with the Vegas Bowl victory, a guaranteed rate bowl victory. Sure, it's like you're continuing the streak, but even then, it's like unless... I mean, yeah, everybody wants to be in a New Year's Six Bowl. Everybody wants to be in those games probably, what, that are played after Christmas, somewhere around closer to New Year's. Those feel the Pop-Tarts Bowl. I know.
The Wisconsin, Pop-Tarts Bowl would rock.
That would be sick if Wisconsin was in the Pop-Tarts Bowl. But so far, it's just been lackluster. It's just been get to those six wins. Get to the bowl game. Keep extending the streak by any means necessary. But... I can understand where the frustration is coming from because, again, yes, do we need to give really not just Luke Fickell but bigger picture, newer coaches to come in? And, you know, it does show that there were some cracks in this program that needed to be fixed and there were some deeper things than we realized in terms of this roster foundation. So, hey, what the exact timetable to turn around a program is, like, you can't really say, like, it has to be either, like, at this exact same time. Maybe it takes a few more years more than we realize, but also it's just kind of thinking, like, I could understand the pomp and circumstance, the celebration, everything, the word transformative. That always sticks out to me that Chancellor Mnookin used when Luke Fickell was hired. The fact that we have not seen anything, the only thing that we've seen transform is my optimism into more pessimism. That is the only thing that has transformed. That is the only thing that has happened so far, unfortunately, in these 3 years. And Luke Fickell has been, it's been good to get to know him over the last few years and just get to see like how he tries to, you know, make sure to motivate these guys, how, you know, the relationship that he builds with media, all that. Don't get me wrong, but man, we just haven't seen changes. We haven't seen changes. So it's long-winded, Jim, but going to your question, man, I do think it is foul based off the comments because you could probably hear it in my voice too right now. This is sad. This sucks. Like, there's no other way to put it. And it's just we all want Wisconsin to do well. Everybody loves it when you're winning. Everybody loves it. The vibe is a lot better. And don't get me wrong, it's like even when I say it like that with some energy, I don't want to say the I want to bring the energy when things are good. I want to bring the energy when things are going super well for Wisconsin. And the fact that this is where we're at right now, I'm just like, I'm just speechless right now.
I would call the comments foul. I want to point this out, though, speaking of foul. I told you I'd give you a stat that's going to bum the hell out of you. So
you didn't even give the stat yet?
I know.
Great, after all that.
On the season, total yards gained for the Wisconsin Badgers, you know, it includes the losses and everything. Total rushing yards, 471 yards. They have four rushing touchdowns. That is 3.1 yards per carry. That includes running. That includes quarterbacks and wide receivers and all that. I'd like to point out that you guys might remember this game against Nebraska. Melvin Gordon carried the ball 25 times for 408 yards, didn't play the fourth quarter.
I do remember this.
Averaged 16.3 yards per carry and had four touchdowns. So in one game, and it's not stretch of imagination to say that if Gordon played that fourth quarter, in one game, Melvin Gordon outgained the Badgers so far through four games. And on top of that, he has outgained. You can combine all the Badger running backs combined. Running backs, not receivers. Just the running backs combined. They do not match the 408 from Melvin Gordon, nor the four touchdowns. So in one single game, and in fact, in three quarters of football, Melvin Gordon ran for more yards at a better yards per carry and scored more touchdowns in three quarters than the Badgers running backs have done in four games this year. So, Barry, maybe we're spoiled, but the product on the field is rotten.
Yeah. If you're not, I'll paint the picture for everybody that's not on the ESPN Madison YouTube channel. I'm just putting my hands in my face, man. I sent the other stat too. It's like, man, this really became sad boy hour all of a sudden. But the national run blocking rankings too for the Big Ten, you have what was it? I'm looking at this. I think eight teams are in the top 50 of the Big Ten, or out of the teams in the top 50, eight are on Wisconsin's schedule. And looking at the ones in the top 10, you have Minnesota at 10, and this is national for run blocking. Minnesota's at 10, Indiana's at 5, Washington at 4, and then you have Iowa at the top. Iowa and their run blocking right now, and the fact that people are very convinced that Iowa will be the next win for Wisconsin.
Who's saying
right.
that?
Right. That's what I've had conversations with people who have like said, Iowa, okay, like homecoming is a good vibe.
You know what's funny about Iowa is that, you know, those throwback uniforms I was so excited about at the start of the season? Next time we're going to see the Badgers play at home, they will be wearing the Don Morton era throwback uniforms.
And playing like
exactly.
in the Don Morton era.
Wow,
like,
what a tribute. Right.
It's just
we do need to move on to Fickell. Yeah. But I like to point this. The Badgers have scored a total of 83 points this year in four games. In four quarters against Indiana, they scored 83 points back in 2010.
You think we're going to get triple
these, these
well,
stats,
triple
numbers,
digits.
Numbers can lie, but I don't think these are.
That sounder needed to come in at the right time. I needed to take a deep exhale.
So how do we feel about the Lou Fickell era? That's where we're on to next year. We got Adam Rittenberg coming up very soon, and so we got to keep this a little bit tighter. We went a little long on Spoiled Rotten. But Luke Fickell, everything I gave you tells me what I think about the Luke Fickell era. He has to win. All right, let's just be fully like, I'm not saying for me, but for him to keep his job, he's got to win five games. For him to keep the fan base, he's got to win at least six to get this team to a bowl game. I don't see that happening. I think this is on its way out. I think DeLeach is fine. It'd be three full seasons. And if this season finishes with four victories, you've regressed every year. You went from six to five to four. Like, that is negative progress. Like, or that is, you're going backwards. So that gets you fired. And for me, if the Badgers, if they keep him at four wins, which is insane, five wins I don't love, but I get it. It's expensive. You kind of just might have to eat another year. But think about it like this from a Badgers fan perspective. I don't want to watch another game. This team is terrible to watch. They're not fun. I don't care about these players. There's no player on this team where I'm like, well, this guy's going pro. Vinny Anthony is fun to watch.
Yep.
I like Tretch as a college player. I don't know. Holman is falling off face of the earth. So there's just nothing there. What am I watching for?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm not watching some singular talent. Like, oh, wow, I can say that I saw Danny O'Neill, who's probably going to be on a different team next year, play in college. So, Pablo, so my stance on Fick is that he better win. For my standards, he better win six to keep his job. For Badger standards, he's going to probably have to do five. And I don't think he's going to do either one of those, so I think he'll lose his job.
I feel like you have to make the bowl game at this point. You have to get to those six wins. And now the fact that you lost to Maryland is this season already, there was a lot of pressure with this schedule. Let's address the elephant in the room. Like, we know 100%. We've talked about it. We know that the schedule is going to be insane. And there was no room for
error.
That's
why it's six wins. That's such a low expectations for the Badgers. Yeah.
Which is crazy to think about, that six wins was the massive expectation. The ceiling was like 7-8. It's like, if it's 7-8 wins, that this was a through-the-roof, beyond-the-atmosphere successful season. Mm-hmm. And I don't even know if we could reach three. I don't even know if we could reach four. The fact that we're like trying to scrape the bottom of the barrel and hope for six is it just, I don't know. I just feel a sinking feeling in my stomach like right now as we talk about it. And the fact that right now, again, that you've dug yourself into a hole that is already going to be even harder to get out of. I got to give a shout out to Raul Correa here on the YouTube chat too, who says Michigan is going to be the next win for Wisco.
I love it.
In what year? What year are we talking about? That is the question. I don't see that happening. I'm afraid of getting 70 spotted at the Big House. But props to you, Raul, on the optimism. But yeah, unless you get to those six wins, what else? It's not going to sit well with the fans. It's, as you said, too, you're going to regress, or you clearly showed the regression there. I mean, maybe five wins, like, you could make, like, a case, I guess, if you will, because you were able to rally back and match the same type of win total. But you could tell right here, I don't feel confident if I'd said five wins and this team is like, Luke Fickell's job is saved. I don't feel good about that.
All right, moving on to the conversation about Mack, because every time I bring up Chris McIntosh, every time I bring up the name Luke Fickell and Luke Fickell getting fired, everyone says Mack's got to go too. That's literally the follow-up sentence from everyone. And I don't know if Mack needs to go too, but I will say this. If he gets let go, it could be cumulative of a lot of things, which would be including some of the very inflammatory and very serious allegations made against the women's basketball coach and the cross-country coach under Chris McIntosh. That's different than sports. That's very serious. But then you look at who is Mack hired. Well, the best coaches at the University of Wisconsin, Kelly Sheffield, Greg Gard, Mark Johnson, just off the top of my head, are not hires from Mack. So that works against his ledger as well. I would imagine he gets another opportunity to hire a coach. But what about this? Andrew Luck at Stanford reports directly to the president. Can we hire Joe Thomas and have Joe Thomas report directly to the chancellor or whoever the head person in charge is at Wisconsin? Could we do that? And then Joe Thomas is in charge of the football program. Joe Thomas has the biggest influence on who they hire. And I'm just saying Joe Thomas because he's a smart businessman. He's a former Badger. He, I think, would do a great job at it. Yeah. He reminds me of our Andrew Luck. More than a J.J. Watt, more than a Russell Wilson, Joe Thomas reminds me of the Badgers version of Andrew Luck.
It's now taking that next step of, again, as if, you know, we'll go back to the word that I used that Mnookin used, transformative. It's just now, it's not just based off the coach. It's how you are managing college football, college athletics in a brand new era, in a brand new sense where it's a lot more important now. Who you bring in, not just as your head coach, but who is surrounding, who is helping your head coach succeed. Because the head coach is not just the person that's on the field calling the plays, working with coordinators. They are essentially the sales pitch person. They are going out to talk to these recruits. They are going to help with boosters. And there's so many different jobs that the head coach does alone. But also, it's not just all on the head coach. There needs to be other people, too, that are helping look out for that head coach and for the other program. So, yeah, I feel like that if we want to see Wisconsin become transformative, it is more than just about hiring the head coach. It is about like what McIntosh and Mnookin and what the university could do to potentially bring in, like, you know, if it's Joe Thomas, that'd be sick, but in general, bring in a strong business minded person for this general manager position, because we all want, again, Wisconsin to succeed.
Yeah, I would certainly not mind seeing someone else run the football program. Joe Thomas, he was going to be my first pick as the GM too. I love Joe Thomas. Great dude, knows how to run a business and loves the Wisconsin Badgers. But let me throw this name at you, Jim. This might be more familiar to you. How about Chris Chambers?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I know Chris Chambers. Yeah. I've personally met Chris Chambers. Okay. Great guy.
I have not. Flex. But I know he was a Wisconsin Badger, and he currently runs a very successful sports management firm that helps athletes navigate the NIL era in college football. If there's someone who would have the right mindset, who would have the right skill set to potentially run a football program that is passionate about the Wisconsin Badgers, I feel like Chris Chambers is also a really good potential name to keep on fans' minds.
That's a great one. I covered the Miami Dolphins. Mm-hmm. He was down with the Dolphins, and I got to meet him. Very nice guy.
Michael Glenn on the YouTube chat here has Tauscher for AD. Now it's up to Tausch.
It's probably more. Awesome.
They tried to get Tauscher run for governor, I think, at one point, too.
That would be something.
I think another name would be Troy Vincent. I've seen that floated.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like he could be in line to be commissioner at some point in the NFL or continue to climb up the NFL totem pole. But if he wanted to, I think every Badger fan would take a guy of Troy Vincent's stature.
100%.
At the University of Wisconsin.
Yeah, he was going to be the name that I bring up, too. I mean, it's smart guy. It's a guy who's climbed up the ladder in arguably, well, let's be real, probably the most prominent pro league in the country, too. Yeah. So, why not? And is it realistic? I don't know. But you never know. You genuinely never know. Here we are at the point where Andrew Luck and Ron Rivera are running college programs too and reporting to either, you know, the chancellor or the athletic director. Who would have thought 3 years ago would be saying that?
Let's hit the portal.
It's time for the Badgers Twitter portal.
All right, we are going to be quick today since Adam Rittenberg is ready to roll.
Let's do it.
Let's start with going to pat myself on the back a little bit here. One of my own tweets that went big this week.
Self-promotion.
Exactly.
Is the best.
So we've officially reached the UCLA and Purdue comparisons. I am genuinely sick at this, and I think I'm most sick at the fact that it's deserved. We've earned these comparisons. So my question to you guys, do you think Wisconsin would beat Purdue or UCLA in a football game right now?
I would hope so.
I think so. Purdue, I feel good about just historically. UCLA seems like they're a giant mess. So I'll give them two dubs.
Yeah, I'll go with it. But again, I feel like I've just been leading too much with the heart right now. But I'll stick with it. Wisconsin right. At least needs
Let's
to
do one
that.
More.
Yep. All right. Here we go, Jim. These are both from your account. The tweet's not attached. But which of these sad Wisconsin Badgers memes is better?
A shout out to Pablo Iglesias for turning the Ben Affleck one, which actually I use as a Bears fan because there's a Bears sweatshirt that he's also put in for the original meme. And then there's the Simpsons Badger football fans. This is the worst day of my life. This is the worst day of my life. And then homework chiming in. This is the worst day of your life so far. So it's more of, are you stressed out and like a borderline depressed like Ben Affleck, or are you just laughing at it like Homer and Bart?
I'm Ben 100%, man. I'm just like, we're down bad. There's no other way to put it. That's the vibe here. We need some help. We need some help. That's where I'm at. I'm Ben Affleck.
See, I like being optimistic. I'm just trying to laugh at it. We were laughing at how bad they played against Maryland. I feel like you gotta try and find some joy even when the Badgers suck. So that's it for the Twitter portal.
No. All right. September is Childhood Cancer Awareness Month, and Steinhoffels is doing something really great with Special Spaces Wisconsin. All you have to do is stop by Steinhoffels this month and test rest any mattress. When you do, you'll get a $20 restaurant gift card, so dinner's on them. And Steinhoffels will also donate $20 to Special Spaces Wisconsin. They're an amazing charity that creates dream bedrooms for kids with cancer. Head to Steinhoffels this September, take a test rest, enjoy your night out, and help make a child's dream bedroom come true. This is The Jumper on Adam Rittenberg next.
During Steinhoffel's Best Brand Sale, bring home incredible style, unbeatable comfort, and big savings for every room in your home. Take 10% off store-wide or use Steinhoffel's 36-month 0% financing. Plus, get an extra 10% off designer living rooms, delightful dining collections, and cozy bedrooms, including special orders. Hurry in! The Best Brand Sale is happening now at Steinhoffel's, Wisconsin's furniture and mattress leader. Relax, it's Steinhoffel's.
And we are thrilled to be joined by Adam Rittenberg from ESPN, Big Ten writer for ESPN. And Adam, man, this is I wasn't expecting a great season for the Badgers, but their performance against Maryland was not a performance I was expecting. The only positive I can say about that performance is that I came into this year wanting clarity on the direction of the Badger football program, And unfortunately, against Maryland, we might have gotten the clarity of where this football program is at. So Adam is – we're not hearing Adam, so I don't know if he's muted on his end of it or if that was on our end of it. But we will see there. If we hear Adam now, I guess I should have maybe said hello to Adam first. That would have made it easier. That would have had him talk without his mic coming through there. But, Adam, do you hear us now? I mean, I know you're hearing us. Can you say hello real quick? Or? All right, so he hears us. I'm not sure what exactly is going on there. So Adam Rittenberg hopefully will be on very quickly. Riley Yauch will do his best to figure out what is going on with that, Pablo. But with this Badger football team, one of the things that I think fans are most disappointed in, and Adam can kind of hear part of this conversation at least, is that the product on the field doesn't look cohesive. It doesn't look like a program that is clicking at all cylinders, that is getting messaging from the top to the bottom, that is practicing great, that is having a fantastic, disciplined practices. You know, I hate to bring it up, but you and I are both Bears fans. We talk about this with like Ben Johnson. Like,
sure.
We're not practicing at championship levels. Well, the Badgers aren't practicing at like bowl levels right now.
Yeah. I mean, it's biting off a little more than you could chew right now with how it started.
I believe Riley gave me a thumbs up. So, Adam, you want to say hello again real quick?
You guys got me?
We got you now.
We got
sorry about that, Adam. So you might have heard part of our conversation, and you kind of got to my question, but I'll just kind of reset it to you of where do you see the state of the Badger football program
like
right now?
On me.
Okay. Oh, I think we're back
now. You guys
now.
Got me now?
We're back now.
Yeah,
you
so,
froze,
okay.
and then right. Okay, now we're back now. Take three.
Yeah, take three, Adam. The state of the Badger football program, we'll just make it simple like that. Where do you see it from someone who's watched this program for a long time?
Yeah, it's an unfamiliar position because they haven't been this down, at least for a sustained period in a generation. And, you know, again, as I was saying earlier, I think some of the issues are pertinent to this year. And we, again, really haven't had the chance to see Jeff Grimes' offense with Billy Edwards at quarterback and any sort of, meaningful time there. But you don't get here overnight either. You know, some of the problems are, multi-years and really goes back to the beginning of the coaching transition as to why Wisconsin is in the space that it's in. So, you look at the schedule and it certainly looks hopeless, but there is a lot of season left and maybe a team just needs one win to get going and a little bit of belief. But certainly what we saw last week against Maryland isn't encouraging that they're on the brink of a turnaround.
Yeah, Adam, and going into that too, we've talked about this where Fickell also came in right at the time where the transfer portal and NIL was really at its heaviest. And honestly, we're still trying to understand with the guardrails and all that too. I mean, do you feel like that's had an impact too? Again, coming into this super hot when this is new and still trying to figure out how to navigate through all this. What's your take on that?
Well, it wasn't right when it started, but it was early in that period. And again, they've been aggressive in the portal. I mean, they did more transfer wise than Paul Christ and Jim Leonard. I guess Jim didn't really have a chance, but it feels like there's been a lot of players that have moved in and out of that program over the last few years. So it's not something that they seem to shy away from. You could certainly question their effectiveness and maybe their philosophy towards it. But it's not necessarily like a Clemson situation where they have chosen not to engage in the portal. They just maybe haven't made the best choices in this era. And, it's really tough because, as you guys know, Wisconsin was the poster program for very good in the sport. They would win 8, 9, 10 games a year. They were always in the top 25, often in the top 15, but very rarely in the top 5. And the reason you get Luke Fickell is to accelerate your program, to move it forward, not to do the same thing, which, again, in some people's minds would have been staying with Paul Christ or hiring Jim Leonard. They wanted to move forward, and now it's gone backward. And you have to ask yourself why, and you have to figure out a way to get back on the upswing because, this is a tougher league than it was when Wisconsin was winning 9 or 10 games a year. It's, to your point, maybe a tougher environment because of personnel and the money that you have to put in to be great. But there's also great opportunity. I mean, you got a 12-team playoff. It may be increasing in the near future to an even bigger number. And think about how many Wisconsin teams in the past, just doing it the way they'd always done it, would have been part of that playoff. So, getting back to that point is going to be the challenge from here on out. And I think it can be done. We'll have to see if it can be done with the current leaders that are in position there.
I'm going to share a clip from Barry Alvarez in a minute on the Barry Alvarez show, but a little context because I get where he's coming from a little bit, where the Badgers have scored 83 points this year. They once scored 83 points against Indiana. Melvin Gordon, again, against Nebraska in three quarters, has rushed for more yards in three quarters than the Badger running backs have combined this year, and also you throw in the touchdowns, which sets up the chance of Fire Fickell and everything else at Camp Randall last Saturday. Here is Barry Alvarez, and I'm sure you've probably seen this online, but here's the actual clip of Barry Alvarez from Monday's show.
Coach, what do you make of how fans have reacted here?
I think
so
it's
far?
Embarrassing. I think it's terrible, despicable. They're spoiled rotten. Here's a team that you got young players trying to come on. They're competing. They're going to have a chance to get better, and you flip on them. Early in the season, and you flip on them, and you're chanting for the coach. What do you think that makes? How do you think that makes the players feel?
Exactly. That's a great point, Coach.
That's disrespectful. It's not loyal. You're not a fan. If I'm a person sitting next to me, boom, I tell them, get your ass out of here. We don't need you in here. You don't want to watch this? Go someplace else. Go boo in a bar. You know, I just, that really upsets me.
And that was Barry Alvarez. Derek Engler, former Badger center on the 94 Rose Bowl team, was with him as well. He did, with Jim Polzini, Wisconsin State Journal, walk it back a little bit after his wife told him that Barry Alvarez's wife told him that this all went viral. So same sentiments, but he did walk back with how maybe sharp his words were. But Adam, what was your thoughts seeing the reaction from Barry Alvarez, who obviously cares very deeply about this program?
Right. I think that's where it comes from, right? That deep care for the program, being a coach and always going to stand up for a coach, you know, the frustration that has mounted that he undoubtedly feels, but also, hey, we're still ultimately here to support these players and to support these coaches while they're in place. But, you know, again, this happens, you know, when teams struggle to the extent, I think Notre Dame got booed at halftime or at some point recently, their defense, you know, there's going to be more outrage when you don't play well. And it's unfortunately just kind of part of the situation. It's a tough scene. It's not a good look by any means. And I understand, you know, again, this is hard. You know, Barry Alvarez is the reason why Wisconsin is relevant. They were an irrelevant program. They were a terrible program before he got here. And he's built this up to the point where it is right now. And he understands, probably didn't love the decision, but the decision to break away from the family and fire Paul Christ and go out and boldly hire Luke Fickell. This is one of his guys, and Chris McIntosh, who has done it. And here we sit in the start of the 2025 season, and the program's as low as it's been probably since Barry's first few seasons. So that's got to be hard. And I think that's what the frustration is born out of that he expressed in that interview.
Adam, we talked about this a little bit of just, you know, the bigger picture too, not just for Wisconsin, but for programs just really across the country. You see Andrew Luck doing his thing at Stanford, Ron Rivera too over at Cal, and just in general, the idea of having not just your head coach, because your head coach is doing a lot of different things outside of coaching, being the recruiter, being the person going to the boosters, but also, again, the importance of having that strong general manager, if this is the right step for Wisconsin, which, I mean, it feels like it should be, but just in general, though, too, like, how important is it to have that strong general manager in this position now with where we're at in college football?
Yeah, it's a really important role, and, you know, it's been building that way for a few years. A number of teams had general managers even 5-6 years ago, but I think the importance and the profile of that role has increased, you know, in even in the sense of having that person determine who the coaching staff is and hire and fire coaches is going to be more of the norm going forward. So it's certainly an important position. You know, I know they obviously have Marcus Sedbury in that role at Wisconsin, and you know, everyone's getting evaluated, right? That's the understanding when you're a general manager in the Power Four, when you're a head coach or an athletic director in the Power Four. But it is, to your point, an increasingly important position, often occupied by notable people, not necessarily behind the scenes, not necessarily, you know, those who have just been in athletics administration, but, you know, like you said, a Luck, a Rivera, Michael Lombardi. I mean, these are all people that are known in the football world, and you don't have to look up who they are.
Last thing we have for you, Adam, is really about the program. I don't know what will happen with Luke Fickell. But obviously getting Luke Fickell is a sign that when he was hired, the Badgers was the head coaching job at Wisconsin was a very sought-after coaching position. If it becomes open again, do you think it will still be a highly thought of, sought-after head coaching position?
Absolutely. I think people look at the history, they look at the fan support and what that stadium is when it's fully activated. Everyone always asks me, like, what's your favorite stadium? And that's always up there at the very top, if not in the top five, in terms of places that I've covered games over the years. I think there's a lot of respect for the history that Barry has created there. And I think a lot of coaches are going to look at that as a place, man, I just need to get this thing back to its identity. I need to reconnect with the state of Wisconsin and the alumni in ways that maybe this staff has not connected as well as they could have. And I think it's going to be super appealing. You never know, but this is going to be a much more robust coaching cycle. We can already see that with the number of jobs that are open and the ones that could come open even before Wisconsin has to make a decision. So you're going to be in a competitive market for candidates. But I really think Wisconsin will be an attractive job whenever it does come open again because of all the reasons and just the fact that it was such a consistent, successful place to be for decades and decades. There are not a lot of programs that can match up to what Wisconsin has done and can offer in the future.
Adam, thank you so much for your time, and thanks for riding out the technical difficulties to start. We appreciate it.
Yeah, happy to be here, guys. Thanks for having me.
All right, that is Big Ten writer for ESPN, Adam Rittenberg, joining the jump around here. He's Pablo Iglesias. I am Jim Rutledge. Thanks for watching. We'll be back at it next week.